Chapter 2. People always scattered like roaches when the lights flip on any time the police came around. You never had to be guilty of anything. It's just instinct to get the fuck out as fast as you can. If you're lucky, you found a spot to linger and watch, pretending you weren't really at the scene, pure happenstance that you were walking by. That's when the cell phones came out and how shit ended up on the internet. While Jordan was inside Freddy's celebrating, alarming red lights made West 4th look like the water after a bloody shark attack. The streets and sidewalks filled with the trans and gay patrons from Freddy's, where opposing sensuous red lights of the DJ booth were left behind. Jordan stayed inside the club with Chai. He was fearless and smart. He was also curious to a fault. Clubs were raided once in a while, and Freddy's had enough drug activity to warrant it, but this night seemed random. Jordan suspected that Ty ran a bookmaking business, adding to the underground nature of the place. Sometimes envelopes changed hands, and Jordan saw it. They were always delivered by a couple of guys that looked more Goomba than gangbanger. Jordan steered clear from that scene, and was a bit naive about all of it. He went to the club for the fun and the crowd. He considered Ty a friend, nonetheless, and if he needed support while the cops were around, Jordan would stay as long as he could. He didn't realize that it wasn't Ty who would need the supportive friend, but himself. A couple of New York's finest came in and began asking Ty some basic questions. But then, "The victim, Ari Rubin, was he in the club tonight?" said the short female detective. "What?" was all Jordan could say. His head turned from Ty to the detectives. His mouth hung open, his eyes were staring at the cops, but not really looking at her. Ty put an arm around Jordan's shoulders. His words that were supposed to be comforting meant little at that moment. Jordan was barely able to register anything anyone was saying. Wait, what are you saying? What are you talking about?" he blasted at the cops. The detectives looked at each other and telepathically communicated. The woman was the one to talk and explain all they felt they could while still needing to push for information. Someone anonymously reported shots fired in the vicinity. The patrol unit was bored until the call came in. Of course, that was a detail that the detectives omitted. The uniformed officers left the squad car close to the corner and covered the territory by foot. That's when they saw Ari's lifeless body, a gaping gunshot wound to his chest and his pants around his thighs. No one would come forward to say they saw anything. The club's music was so loud no one inside noticed a shot fired. Then the rest of the units responded. Yellow crime scene tape was put up along with a couple sawhorses to attempt to drive back the crowd, snapping gory photos. The coroner waited until the detectives had a thorough look at the body before it was covered. But there, inside the room that was filled with joyous reverie only minutes ago, the police were asking Jordan questions about whether his lover of nearly a year had any enemies or could have been involved in anything dubious. They made some pretty quick judgments because they found Ari with his pants down in a filthy alley. Jordan struggled to compose himself. He knew it wouldn't get him anywhere with the cops if he lashed out. A tall black gay man showing the emotional mix of sorrow and rage would do no one any good, certainly not the memory of Ari. He knew the reality of tasers and unjustified arrests. The DJ stopped the music, startling everyone. The text chimes and ringing of Ty's cell phone caught the attention of the few people left inside. DJ Mixmax tapped Ty on the shoulder and asked if it was okay for her to go. Ty shook his head yes. "Actually, we'll need you to stay right here until we can ask you for your statement," the male detective said. Everyone needed to stay put. The whole staff gave statements before congregating with the masses outside. Jordan took the longest with the cops. When he was ready to leave, Ty went outside with him to wait for the car service he called for his friend. He hugged Jordan firmly and placed a hand on his wet cheek. "Don't you worry," Ty said in his urbanese. "They'll catch the prick that done this. You go home and rest. I'll call you tomorrow." Jordan nodded and got in the black sedan. He noticed how different a crowd like this looked up close compared to seeing it on the news. The lights of the cell phones twinkled erratically against the cascades of red coming from the emergency vehicles. Ari, quiet Ari who kept to himself, was going to be an internet celebrity for tonight, and not in a good way. You've been listening to Vodka O'Clock Noir by Elizabeth Amber Love from AmberUnmasked.com. Thank you for sponsoring through Patreon.com/AmberUnmasked. Music provided by ASCAP through Free Play Music, composed by David Flavin and Roland Quidzaitis.